starting point?
Yes, motion.
Thank you, 6:30 as well, so let us proceed. We're ready to begin with our monthly meeting of our Public Works Facilities Committee meeting and its agenda. We're calling it to order, roll call, I see that we are here, except for Supervisor Mudo's excused, Rodriguez, I'm sure at this point, and Supervisor Pierce.
And Andrew Setter as well, he missed.
He's our youth and governance.
Right, one of our big students. Ron is here.
Let us take a look at agenda item number three, approval of minutes from the previous meeting. Get a chance to review those and entertain a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded, Valsenberg in that order. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Minutes are approved. Chairman, committee members, supervisors, youth and governance comments. Any supervisors have any comments? I have none specific at this point, perhaps later in the meeting. Citizens' comments. Is there any citizen in the group who would like to speak? You have 5 minutes. Kindly give us your name and address before you proceed. Any citizens? Seeing none, citizens' comments are closed. We're now on to Facilities Division Operators, Mr. Mike Schrant and Matt Serino. Are you going to take the first item?
No, Mr. Chairman, actually, I wanted to let Dan, if we could, just because we're out at Brightondale, we don't get out here that often. He wanted to introduce staff that are involved in the golf operation.
If you guys want to stand up as I introduce you, this is Doug Schulzke. He's our head golf professional. He's head of the clubhouse. He's head of the golf shop. He's the one that deals with all the outings. He's the one that deals in all the revenue. And this is his assistant, Dan Hurl. Dan does a great job just backing everything up. I mean, when these guys are here, I have no worries. They're really solid. Doug's been with us 6 years. Dan's been with us 5 years. You know, so yeah, they're really a solid team and really do a great job. Doug also oversees Scott Driscoll, who is our food and beverage manager. And then outside, we have our rookie. We have Jim Wallace. He just joined us this year. He came from Delaware Country Club. And really happy to have him on staff. He's really going to bring some great changes, I believe, to the golf course. Even though we're always been in great shape, I really look forward to his knowledge. And the glue that holds the department together over there, Randy Schultz, he does a great job with backing Jim up and keeping the crew working. And so it's really a pleasure to work with these guys. They really do awesome work and make my efforts a lot easier, a lot more handleable. So thanks very much, guys. I appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks for the revenue.
As long as you're on the subject, Dan, are there any renovations or spruce-ups here that in our visible site area that we would see in the Brightondale Clubhouse this year?
Well, this is new carpet from last year, and then, you know, we got the fireplaces in, and we did the bathrooms last year, too. We did new countertops and vanities in there, and Doug and the crew painted everything in here, so it looks really fresh and nice, and... We're always trying to find something that this year we did the painting of that tile area right by the bar, which really turned out good, and the new coal base down there, and really happy about that. So we're always working to keep the place as clean as possible and user friendly as possible. And so, I'm really happy with it. It's a beautiful clubhouse, a beautiful place to work.
Well, good. It looks like just waiting for the weather to break and get some more outdoor enjoyment, but it looks good so far, so we'll touch back with you when it's your time for golf. But let us carry on with facilities. We have a resolution as our first order of business.
First one, yeah.
Authorizing the purchase of property at 3222 Washington Road, Kenosha, Wisconsin. Who's handling that?
Mr. Cardamone handled that, and we can feather in as needed, if at all.
Well, good evening, Supervisors. The first item this evening regards the property at 3222 Washington Road. Some of you may recall if you were around. In 2013, we purchased the home that was immediately east of Brookside. It's permitted some expansion of, I believe, parking, and it was certainly of a significant value when we were doing the extensive additions to Brookside a few years back. We now have another house that is immediately east of Brookside, and once again the opportunity has arisen to acquire that property. It is the last property on that block. It's the only property in between Brookside and what I still want to call Washington Manor, but I believe is Manor Care. And so the opportunity, again, has presented ourselves to acquire that property. Purchase price, as negotiated between the county and the owner, is $249.90. Because this question always comes up, the property was assessed at $216.6, but that was in 2019. So almost 3 years ago. My understanding is that the city is due to reassess their properties this year. I don't think I need to tell anybody in this room what has happened to the real estate market over the last couple of years. I think it is almost certainly undervalued, or at least underassessed at this point. The representative for the seller, who happens to be the big sister of the owner, when she was meeting with us, indicated that she had done some research on her own online and believed it was probably worth anywhere between $250,000 and $300,000. And I think that's probably accurate based on the research that I did as well. I think that's probably a safe range as to what that property could potentially be worth. I'm not aware of any immediate plans or any immediate need. However, I think, again, we're all very well aware that the key to real estate is location, location, location. The other key, especially for us in the county, is timing. I think the past several boards have shown remarkable foresight in recognizing that sometimes we need to acquire property when it becomes available rather than when we need it, because when we need it, it usually is considerably more expensive and or difficult to obtain. So the one little quirk about this one, again, some of you may remember the property in 2013. The quirk there was we allowed the owner, who was a nice older woman, whose husband had passed away before she opted to sell the property to us. We allowed her to stay there rent-free for a year because what she needed was time to acclimatize to the idea that she was going to be leaving the house that she lived in forever. That's not the situation we have here. What we have here is another older woman who had lived there for, I want to say, 40 years or something along those lines. About 2 years ago, one of her daughters moved in with her to help her around the house, help her negotiate her day-to-day life. And it passed to her as a transfer on death when the previous owner passed away. The quirky part of that is that the current owner needs to be the owner of the property for 2 years, or else we'll have some very significant tax penalties when she sells it to another party. So what we are proposing is that we would approve the purchase now, but we would not close on the property until the beginning of next year, because that's when those 2 years will have run. And then because we're all good-hearted people who don't want to force anyone to have to move in the middle of winter, we are prepared to allow her to stay until May 1, again, rent-free. So we'd be talking about 3 months, approximately 4 months, where she would be able to remain in the property. So that is what we're proposing. I would also note that the resolution itself indicates $260,000. That was the number that finance suggested to me. It's primarily to make sure that we cover any other incidental related expenses, which might include closing costs, any filing fees, et cetera. So the proposal before you is for a budget modification in that amount, as well as the authority to enter into any and all paperwork and agreements needed to effectuate the sale, again, committing to it now, closing at the beginning of next year. I'm certainly happy to answer any questions the committee might have that I can answer, or finance is here. I also just want to note that both Linda Bogdala, the director of Brookside, as well as Bob Pitts, the chairman of the Brookside Board of Trustees, are here. I think they feel very strongly that this would be a tremendous asset to move on this opportunity as it has presented itself. And I want to particularly thank Mr. Pitts for a great deal of assistance and effort on his part in helping us get to this point.
quite a presentation. Mm-hmm. Supervisor Belson.
I was wondering, do we need to have it in here that we're not going to be charging rent or anything, just so that it's clear that after we close that they can remain in the house until a certain date?
So the offer to purchase, and I didn't include the offer to purchase as part of this. It wasn't intentional. It wasn't any sort of indication. I'm trying to keep it from the committee or the board. I'm certainly happy to share it. The offer to purchase makes reference to an occupancy agreement, and it's going to be spelled out in there.
Okay.
About the terms. So.
All right. Good.
Further questions on this? So just for understanding, Joe, proposed closing date would be January 2023?
Yes, I think the offer to purchase is January 15. That date could shift if the date that she has to own it is a little bit off. They weren't 100% certain. I will tell you, only because it's sort of a fun fact, when I sat down with the owner and her sister last week for about 2 hours before we reached this agreement, as they were walking out, they said, "I got to tell you, we did not think we were going to be signing an offer to sell today. That was not in the cards." And so, again, a big thank you to Bob Pitts, who was a huge assistance in helping get this to this point.
So, follow up on that, proposed closing January 15, 2023. Tenant to occupy until when?
May 1.
May
1st. Yep.
And so that will be spelled out in the offer.
Correct.
To
yep.
Purchase.
Yeah.
No, it sounds good. Questions, Supervisor Franco?
Joe, how big is the land? Is it
oh, I'm sorry. I meant to say that and I didn't put it in my notes. It's 0.89 acres. So it's a pretty good sized piece of land, particularly for the city.
Mm-hmm. And it's a good price, too, because they're going about 40% above assessment right
and,
now.
And as we always joke in the office, we were told there would be no math, but I think. If we go 40% over 216, it's going to push it over 300,000.
Right. That's a good deal.
Supervisor Byrd.
Well, I would agree that, 260 right now is good. As an agent, there's two places where I look, and that's Zulu and Realtor.com, and Zillow. Not Zulu. Zillow's at 289.9, and Realtor.com's at 301.9, so as market value. So, that's great job.
Yeah. Great job, Bob. Motion to approve.
Second.
It's been a motion to approve and been seconded. We've had a discussion. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Seeing none, youth and government.
Aye.
Thank you. The motion carries. Resolution carries. On to our next order of business. And that will be heat pump phase four.
So we have three facilities projects we'll be reporting on. A KCAD heat pump replacement project. We've been working closely with purchasing. Revised scope of work has been submitted to Southport to negotiate changes to the project. A meeting is set for next week to discuss those changes. Brookside roofing replacement project. We had four bidders. The low bid was CNC Services at $547,000. This is $67,000 over budget. After discussion with the roofing consultant, it was decided to defer the project until 2023 in hopes of an improved bidding environment. Mullen Arrow fire system device replacements. This is a budgeted $80,000 project to replace obsolete fire devices that currently serve the Mullen Arrow building. Siemens was awarded the work at $72,200. A PO has been issued to start this project. New devices are on order, and the tentative start date for this project is May 1.
So you said on the Brookside roof replacement that came in some $67,000 above budget?
That's correct.
No worries. We're just going to wait for next year to see if we can get a better price. Just recapitulate what happened for the heat pump phase four. What's the story with that one?
So the budget for this phase was 230, coming in much higher during the bidding. business, so we wanted to work with the contractors to see, you know, what we could do to reduce that cost and get it without compromising the project, getting that price down, see what we could do to go forward this year.
So we're going to take a look at the bid specs and just kind of do a redo on it, is that the plan?
Correct.
Do we think that's conceivable that will happen yet this construction season? Or
I think so. Yeah, I think there's some things.
A chunk of it, right.
Is that really weather dependent or not so much? That's indoors, right?
Not so much, no. It's indoors. If we had some really extreme weather, it might affect, but not really. No.
And if I recall, this is the final phase?
Correct. It was to be the final phase.
Very well. Any questions for this part of our meeting? Questions, comments? Okay, thank you, Matt. Thank you, Mike. We're on to golf with Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We opened our golf courses on March 16th. We announced the opening through press releases and email blasts. We were able to open the White Birch, the Red Pines, and Petrifying Springs, even though that we were limited to cart path only, it was great to be able to offer carts on having a continuous cart pass. We also had a very strong opening, but unfortunately the cold weather came about 3 weeks ago, and has shut us down since. But through the first weekend it was a decent start. So Jim Wallace, our new superintendent, is acclimating very well. He has started February 28th. With drier conditions, we were able to mow almost all of the courses at both facilities. So it's amazing. This has never been able to be done before, you know, because it's always been so wet. And to get out there and actually mow the greens, the fairways, the tees, the courses are, I think, looking really good for this time of year. So Jim is also focusing on improving the operations of the wastewater treatment plant. We've been putting a lot of effort into making renovations and getting that up to speed. So so we're working to define the scale and scope for a potential project to replace the original 1972, the last remaining section of original irrigation on the Red Pines golf course. The white and the blue here were down in Petrifying Springs is in good shape, but the red is really disruptive to our operations and puts the greens and fairways at risk if that irrigation would go bad on us. So we should determine the feasibility in the next month or two, and if it is, we target construction for late this fall if we can find a contractor, and the capital project would be funded from our profits from the last 2 years. So the golf show went very well. You know, the vendors were unique there actually for a golf show, but we were able to have a lot of participation. We gave away 6,000 coupons, which was great. I think we added almost 1,500 people to our database. So I know we're up to over 32,000 people in our database now when we send out email blasts. So this venue at the Milwaukee Golf Show is a good opportunity to increase the regional awareness of the quality and value that we offer. The golf clearance sale went well. One simulator is still playable at Petrifying Springs. We had the virtual Winter Golf League. It was a success with 32 players and an additional at least 10 players from last year, and kept the simulator pretty busy. The simulator's pretty busy. Patrons enjoyed the opportunity to play golf and try and keep their game sharp all winter long at Petrifying Springs, so that was great. So right now, employer hiring is our top priority. We have hired quite a few people already. It's looking pretty good in the golf shop and the food and beverage areas, but we're still diligently looking for maintenance staff here at Brightondale, and a couple, I think, at Petsyet. And so we're targeting to hire another 15 people before the start of May. So our projects that we're going to work on for the rest of the year. The cart path edging at Petrifying Springs. It's weather and conditions dependent, and we hope to finish that this season yet. And then course cleanup and conditioning, again, went really well. The guys worked extremely hard, brush removal and tree pruning and mowing and course rolling and general cleanup of the golf courses. So I'm real happy with the conditions if we get the weather, which hopefully starts really Sunday. Looks like it's turning around. Might have a couple days that might be all right this weekend, but Sunday really looks like the day that hopefully we're a go. So that's all how our revenue goes. It's all dependent on the weather, really. I mean, it was good to have the influx of new players the last couple of years, but the weather was amazing too, and that's really what helped us be so successful. So, and that's what's happening here.
Questions for Mr. Dreyer? Tell us about the coupons. What type of promotion is it for the golf show?
We have our standard rate right now is $18 for 18 holes walking. And so that was promoted. We also had, I believe it was a $49 unlimited play coupon so that people could come and play all day. And then during the summer, it's a $33 weekdays and $39 on the weekends. So it's a limited amount. 6,000 coupons went out, and people can use them all year round. We want to keep on that. People don't just have to concentrate in the spring, and it just is a promotional event to get them exposed to what we offer, and then hopefully we can keep coming all year.
Is it a fairly common occurrence both here and in Costa on weekends? Saturdays and Sundays especially, big draw, pretty much filled up at the earlier times, morning times, Saturday and Sunday, and then the course play is slower on the afternoons. Is that frequent?
Well, it's usually not real busy until about 7, so from 6 to 7 is the time that we try to fill. And then from about 7 till, a lot of times it's crazy all day until 4, But there are times where, until 11 o'clock or so is really solid, and then it'll drop down. But last couple of years, when we were doing 110,000 rounds, there's not even weekdays. I mean, Petrifying Springs, we'll do 250 rounds during the week. On the weekends, and 325 rounds in the weekdays, just because right. The leagues.
Of course, it's a lot of play.
Yeah.
Out here, though, during the week in the afternoons, on the weekends and afternoons, it's still pretty consistent, is what you're saying, though, in terms of...
In the last couple of years, it has been, and we have price breaks. I mean, we're peak rate until 2 o'clock, and then we have our twilight that kicks in, so that brings another set, and then we have our super twilight that kicks in at 4 o'clock. So we have price breaks to... Keep
it's already built in.
Yep.
So you've got the food and beverage person set for here. Do you have the same food and beverage person back at Pets?
No. She has retired and moved on, and we have Michael Margetson, who has been with us, I believe, for 9 years. He started here outside service and then came in the shop, and then he's been working over at Petrifying Springs in the golf shop, and he moved over to food and beverage.
Okay. Any other general types, turf stuff going on in the spring, deep tine anything, or is that all taken
yep.
care
of? We'll be deep tining the white and the red and Pets, and we'll be aquarifying the blue.
Okay. And that is, for the course in general, just the greens or what?
Well, just the greens is what I was speaking of, but overall we'll be deep tining all areas that have shown wear and heavy traffic.
Good. Further questions, comments, Mr. Dreyer? Seeing none, thank you, Dan. Look forward to seeing you next month. And we're going to look into our crystal ball and see it's going to be warmer next month at this time than it is right now.
That's right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, very well. We're on to now what? We're on to Mr. Martinelli.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Isn't it Matt?
No.
It doesn't matter. I'll stick around.
Oh, sure.
Go ahead, Matt. Sorry. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for the division report this evening, the first item we have is Boundless Adventures. Season opening for Boundless Adventures is set for April 9th. Hopefully weather-dependent, like we've been talking about all the evening. So spring hours will be strictly on weekends unless they're contacted by a larger group outing for during the week. As for Kenosha County Veterans Memorial Park, an update with Phase 3 Veterans Memorial Development. Bids were due back on March 8th for the construction of the restroom pavilion, the Army Memorial Shelter, and two entrance signs. The bids did come back higher than the approved budget would allow. So we are currently working with the apparent low bidder to determine if Valley Engineering can reduce some of the activities that we wanted to do and get this project done still this season. So hopefully we'll have another update for the committee next month. As for some real estate activities, this is basically divided into two different sections because as Ray and others have been discussing, there's a lot moving on in this area with the County Highway F realignment project. So the first is considered the parcel sale preparation. So with the County Highway F realignment project and the development of the western portion of Kenosha County Veterans Memorial Park, they created two saleable county-owned parcels that are not conducted for parkland use. So per the approved 21 budget, Public Works is authorized to sell these remnant parcels and the due diligence required to get them ready for the sale in process. And just a reminder, we will bring those back to this committee once we have a final sale price on those before we get that approved and actually finalized. And then there's a second portion because these two properties were acquired with stewardship DNR funding. So the DNR parcel exchanges is part of this as well. And part of that County Highway F realignment project and the development of the western portion of the park, the two remnant parcels that were part of that larger properties were purchased with that DNR stewardship funding, but obviously they're not suitable for parkland anymore. So these do require a conversion or exchange of other equal value county-owned properties into parkland as an offset. And we have included two additional documents for the committee to review. All the properties that we would exchange into parkland, the county already owns. One is with the County Highway C boat launch. We have the Fox River water launch landing areas. There's four of them in total. This one's right next to the old County Highway C dam. The other two parcels are within Petrifying Springs Park. We've reported on them in the past. There's one considered the Schaefer property, and then there's also one on the Thompson property that are right off of Green Bay Avenue. So again, we've already purchased those to be part of Petrifying Springs Park. Technically speaking, they were not converted over to parkland, so we want to use this exchange in order to put that other parcel on the market now and technically convert those over to parkland. So is there any questions with that subject before I move on?
So this is basically a land swap to satisfy the DNR reserve, right?
Correct.
Questions, comments on the specifics of this right here?
All right, I will move on. Old Settlers Park Band Shelter. Bids were due on the 31st for the construction of the band shelter at Old Settlers Park. Surprise, surprise, over budget. This one as well. We're not going to reject bids just yet. We'll have to just investigate this a little bit more just because we just got these bids back. And so hopefully we'll have more information if it's workable or not for this construction season. Parks app and Bike Kenosha County app. So I don't know if any of the committee members have tried it out, but it is pretty cool. We've been in the works. Andy Bueller with Planning Development as well as our office with the Parks Division. We've been working for around 2 years to try to develop really a user-friendly device that's more for the smartphone. So if end users for the Parks app are out in the park, you can actually use the GIS information and know exactly where you are on a hiking trail, multi-use trail within a park, see different parks amenities. We really wanted us to categorize into the main features of what someone would be using out within the park for special events, again, for your actual map and information. information. People can report non-emergency issues, so if a tree fell over at Bristol Woods over a trail or something, they could take a picture with their smartphone. They'll tell us exactly where that tree is, and it'll be just another way for us to communicate issues out in the field. So it really is a one-stop shop for people that are out and about. And same thing with the bike app. Just gives us more of that community-centric vibe of bringing all our different townships, villages, cities together for cohesive bike wayfinding and safety tips that we can use by all communities within Kenosha County.
Matt, if I could. Yeah. Matt, could you make some stickers? So you know all the maps that we have? Put some stickers on those maps, mm-hmm. because then when we have them at the market, I think that'll help people too, that they don't have to carry around that big map.
Ah, yes, that's a great idea. We are developing our 2022 activity guide, so maybe we can put like a QR code that'll bring
okay.
you right to that.
That would be good.
So yeah, some people, old school, they love to have that physical
yeah,
map.
Some do.
And then others that really just don't want to pull that big thing out or see more detail.
Because then we could have like a little sign then too with the QR code that they can just grab that. Okay,
like
great.
Thank you. Moving on to Petrifying Springs Park, playground number 4. So we are evaluating the feasibility to bid multiple prime contractors to reduce that project budget. So it's looking positive, but we're still trying to work out what we can and cannot do for this project season for that playground. Pavilion number 3, Masonry Restoration Inc. has started on the repairs of the brick within Pavilion number 3. And is anticipated to finish prior to the start of our pavilion season, which is May 1st. This project will be the first phase to preserve that facility. Pringle Nature Center. Pringle Nature Center has been selected to host the AmeriCorps group to work on various projects within Bristol Woods Park for 4 weeks starting in May. So that's a huge achievement. I think the city of Kenosha also was able to utilize AmeriCorps in previous years. So they'll focus on the construction of our nature playground features, trail rehabilitation, and invasive species removal. And I guess as a side note, don't know if the committee knows Barry Thomas, but he passed away this last month. So he was the chair of the Pringle Nature Center. So a surprise to us all with the loss of Barry. So big shoes to fill. He did a lot for Pringle Nature Center in Kenosha County for the last 20 plus years, I wanna say. Mm-hmm. So moving on to seasonal recruitment. Kind of mirroring what Dan had said, but more on the lifeguard side. We are still in need of 12 lifeguards to be fully staffed for Silver Lake Park Beach for the season. So I just put a hyperlink again just to see if anyone's interested or has friends, families, neighbors. We're still looking to get those positions filled for this season.
Interesting.
And then last but not least, Summer Youth Employment Program. They will return to the parks and facilities again for the 2022 season. Program organizers anticipate smaller numbers of participants due to staff shortages, so they're hurting just like everyone else is, as well as they had to increase the wage for the actual youth. They were at $7.25 an hour. Now they have to offer $9 an hour just because youth were not showing interest in these positions because they could work anywhere else for an increased wage. So we are still expecting for the whole entire program, not just parks, but the whole entire program, 140 youth to be part of that program for Kenosha County this coming year.
Very well. Questions or comments from Mr. Mass? Let's go back to Veterans Park for just a moment. You're saying that the bids came in higher than expected for restroom, pavilion, et cetera. How much higher are we now?
So the base bid for the restroom facility was $720,000, and it's for the men's side, it's 4 stalls, women's side, it's 4 stalls year round, so it's heated in winter. So we were expecting, I'd say, more on the higher end of maybe $500,000 for something like that, so we're over by quite a bit. The Army shelter bids came out at $248,000 for that one. And then we had 2 entrance signs, one on each entrance, one off of County Highway F and the other one off of County Highway KD. Both of them totaled $55,000.
Weren't those going to be paid for at least in part by sponsorship opportunities? Was that the deal?
The second one for the Army shelter, yes. We have received a private donor an amount of $150,000, because that was what the original estimate was. So we're over that, so we have to figure out what to do to make up that shortfall, if anything at all. And the entrance signs, we honestly estimated that those would be $15,000. So that's not a starter for me. I just think that's too much money for what they are. So I don't anticipate moving forward with those entrance signs this year.
So those would just be on hold for the time being?
Correct.
So when it comes down to the $120,000 differential for the restroom, what do you do? You just say, well, we're going to scale this back and go with less amenities? And
correct. Yeah, that's what we're looking at with the architects as well as the contractor, the parent low bidder, to see what's actually feasible. And part of the value engineering is not trying just to ask for, I need 20% off in order to get this done.
Yeah.
We want to be very, it's got to work for both parties involved. So like you say, trying to scale it back, what concessions can we make with the physical architecture of the building to maybe reduce the amount of materials, maybe choose different materials, look at the donor wall, for instance, things mm-hmm. like that, see if we can reduce the scope of that original project.
Is it your intention at this point to still have it heated throughout the winter and use this a year round?
I think so, based on the numbers that we've seen, as far as there's minimal cost savings at this point.
I think that would be a wise thing to do. It always seems like when things heat up and cool down, they're not maintained at a certain temperature, there's always maintenance issues with that. So, all right, questions from Supervisor.
What was the difference?
As far as?
What we assumed was the bid and what the bid was over.
As far as the value of engineering, you're saying, or the difference?
No, so it came back higher than their
$230,000.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff when you package the total budget into. So for the actual construction cost, I'd put it around $550,000 to $600,000, what we expected for the total project. And yeah. The bid came back at $720,000.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And we just had those estimates done in October of last year, to put it in perspective. And they did a pretty good job detailing out all the materials and construction costs.
Any questions or comments from Mr. Collins?
Just one more thing. So even if they go forward, what do their timelines look like? Because my understanding is lead times on product is 6 months out at least.
Thankfully for this project, it's a lot of concrete work. Okay. So there is some specialty siding materials, but our architect has been in contact with those manufacturers and vendors, and we don't anticipate long lead times. Maybe the doors and things like that.
I heard roofing, especially the membrane is taking a long time to come in.
So. I haven't heard that with this project, talking to the contractor, but once they put their orders in, I think they know, because obviously as more and more projects are mounted for things like a roof membrane, then you get to the back of the line. So hopefully we can figure this out sooner than later so they can actually start to put in their orders.
Okay. Thank you.
Good, man. Thank you for your report.
Thank you.
See you next month. Now, Mr. Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. KCAB low narrow security modifications, KCAB courthouse door replacements are complete. We're still working with the contractor on completing the punch list. Work to construct the KCAB enhanced security transaction counters by Bukacek Construction started on March 17th. Completion scheduled for August, and they are exactly on time. Just had a meeting with them today. Civic. Great.
No, I was just waiting until the guys take it off. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Civic Center campus design and construction parking lot. The new lots are substantially complete, and enough lights were installed to open the lot for parking on March 28th. The balance of the lights, the landscaping, fencing, and punch list are to be completed, but people are parking there. Kemper water infiltration repairs for 2022. Construction phase bidding documents were released on February 16th. One bid from Berglund was received on March 17th. We're currently evaluating some of the details of the bid with our architect and the contractor, and we're thinking by the end of the week we should be able to come to a resolution. KCDC HVAC replacements, phase one, construction started on January 25th, and is proceeding, and we're scheduled to be completed by the end of June. KCDC HVAC replacements, phase two, design engineering specification process is moving forward, pretty much on time. KCDC lobby security enhancements, like reported last time, we had a preliminary design meeting, updated costs were higher than projected, and we're evaluating options for a reduced project scope or identify funds that could be transferred to the project budget that's still in the works. And the KCC renovation project, design engineering specification process.
Okay, questions for Mr. Martinelli? Comments? On KCDC phase two, that's still in design and specification stage, you were saying. Is that the last of those rooftop units we're going to have to do, or are there still more after that?
We have to divide it into three phases because that first phase got delayed, and then all the prices increases and came higher, so then we scaled it back only to the ones that were on their last legs. So then it kind of broke it up into three phases.
Okay, so this phase two would be two of three, is that correct?
Correct.
I thought we already had some of those that were done previously when we scaled it back.
We had this. Short answer is no. We did have it scheduled, and then it got cut in the budget process, and we really didn't have enough to move forward at that scale.
So
we waited till the next year where we had enough money.
Yeah, okay.
But by that time, COVID and everything hit, and the prices went up, and. Yeah. Then it came way over budget, but we had more price increases. We had another 5% price increases happening in August. So actually, I was really proud of our team purchasing, our architects, engineers, Matt Scarino, realizing we were going to have another 5% on a big number. We quickly took our specifications and brought it down to just those units on their last legs, mm-hmm. so we could at least get that and get that bid in before the price increase, because else we would have waited another year, it would have been 5%, but also you might end up putting a new motor in a unit for $25,000 that the compressors are on their last legs anyway, and then you're just throwing good money in the bag. So really, that was a great team effort quickly to rescale the project and at least get the ones that were on their last legs done with this phase so that we weren't going to throw good money after bad.
Good. Okay. Thank you for the report. Further questions? Thank you, Frank. We'll see you next month. Clement, is it your turn?
Oh, he knows. Wake up. yeah. First of all, we're going to talk about the resolution in front of you. The resolution is for the authorization for the application of the transportation alternative program grants for the construction of the extension of County Trunk Highway C from 128th Avenue to County Trunk Highway U. Typically, these grants are typically for this kind of projects for off-road congestion mitigation and things like that. And so we usually take advantage of this kind of program to apply for this grant, because that way we don't use county dollars for trails. But so we typically take advantage of these programs because that's the only area that the county can get funding for. So this program, this trail is actually an extension of an existing trail that's coming from the east. And so we're going to be continuing the trail going west, and it's also part of the Kenosha Master Plan for Trails, at the county Tonghai, we see trail is supposed to go all the way to the west, with the intent of connecting all the villages and towns and city within Kenosha County. And so to apply for this for grant, it is required of us to get approval from the board for the application, and as a sign of support of the program, otherwise the program will not be funded. So that's why we have it in front of you today, so that hopefully I'll get your blessings and approve, and then we can apply for the funds.
Questions on this particular TAP grant and its purpose?
Good. Did we forecast the 187 our share in the budget for this?
No, it's not in the budget.
Okay, so that's why.
That's why
that's
we have
approval. Okay, just want to make sure.
And it would be realistically, if we got the funds, it wouldn't be a project until what year?
We could start design as early as next year.
So it'd be out a couple years.
Out a couple
but still, that 20% that we have to pay. Okay.
Correct.
All right.
Motion to approve.
I'll second it.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Ethan Governance?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. So just to dwell on this before you leave it, 128th Avenue to County U. It's going to be on C.
Yes.
Which side of the road is it proposed for?
It's going to be on the south side of
South Side.
Chair, I just want to let you know as well that Supervisor Pierce said he is unable to make it tonight.
Okay, very well. Thank you for that information. And thank you for getting grant status for this. We like when the grants come through and we're only paying 20% of the freight, and we see our tax dollars come back in some fashion. So rock and roll with that.
Okay, for my report, March was pretty much mild, with a little bit of rain. Other than that, we did our regular routine maintenance. We did the same routine maintenance for the state. Nothing eventful to report as far as operations are concerned. County Trunk Highway F, JF and 83 intersection. I reported on this last month, and that we're doing a final review. We completed the review, and we were not able to identify any safety concerns, major safety concerns. And this has been reported to the supervisor Nottingham, and we'll be following up with a formal report on our study. On projects, County Trunk Highway S, contractor is still waiting for the weather to break for him to start completing the punch list items. They've done the best they could with some of the punch list items, but right now the ones that are remaining will require good weather for those punch lists to be completed. County Trunk Highway K, bids were open on the 8th. The apparent low bidder is Michaels, the same contractor that constructed County Trunk Highway S. The project was also awarded by the DOT. As a matter of fact, we had our project team kickoff meeting today. And if everything goes as planned, we might have a pre-construction meeting next week. After the pre-construction meeting next week, we might then organize a public information meeting. Again, this project is scheduled to be constructed this summer, and end date, completion date is, I would say, late spring, but that's sometime October or November. County Trunk Highway A and Y, we're still acquiring property. It is slower than anticipated. We're hoping that by now we would have completed the right-of-way acquisition. But we also made some moves to get the utility work to commence, and I think they've started last week. I'm struggling to say whether they've started or not, because I didn't have the opportunity to go out there this afternoon, but if they have not started, they will be starting sometime this week. the right of way acquisition is a very slow process. The negotiation was not as smooth as we anticipated. County Trunk Highway WG Bridge, the project has started. Demolition was partially, I thought it was completed, but there's still a little bit of it still to be done with the abutments of the bridge. They started driving piles today, and they're fighting the weather as well, and hopefully they'll be able to complete the project on schedule. County Trunk Highway, not U and O intersection. We're still in the winter shutdown because we're still waiting for the good weather to break. As soon as weather is conducive, then we'll resume construction activity. County Trunk Highway U and C, the right-of-way acquisition is complete, so we'll probably be moving to the next phase, which will be utility relocation. County Trunk Highway JB Bridge, construction work has started. The demolition started yesterday. The railings have all been dismantled, and they've started circuiting the concrete pit deck, and removal of the concrete deck will start as early as tomorrow. County Trunk Highway MB Bridge, of course, this project cannot start because of DNR regulations until June 15th. County Trunk Highway EZ and Roselle Road, we're still working with Lake County on the intergovernmental agreement. As soon as that is complete, we'll bring them here for their approval. County Trunk Highway KR project, still in winter shutdown. There's some activities happening there, but very minimal because of the weather. And State Trunk Highway 50 reconstruction project, major activities have started. Again, when I put this report together, some of those activities had not started, but I drove there today. They started constructing the westbound lanes from the 3rd Avenue all the way to the bridge over 76th Street. And they've shifted traffic to the south side and one lane on each side, and the major activities are ongoing right now. State Trunk Highway 50 resurfacing project. This project is on the west end of the county. They've installed all the traffic control. They're going to be reducing traveling lanes to one lane on each direction. And but right now they are working on pavement marking removal and striping for the traffic control. And I'm guessing that as of maybe next week, you'll start seeing some mailing and overlaying. They'll start with mailing, sorry. The overlaying will be coming back later. As of now, because of the weather too, I don't really have a good sense of the schedule. So that's why I'm struggling a little bit. But as soon as I start major activities, I'll be able to come back to this to report exactly what's going on. State Trunk Highway 142, similar situation. This will be mailing an overlay on 142 from the interstate all the way to County Trunk Highway J. It's actually going to be in two phases. The first phase will be from the interstate to State Trunk Highway 45. That one was supposed to have started, but because of weather again, they've not started. And they'll be closing down the road as early as maybe this week for the bridge, for bridge repair work that will be going on there. Again, it's a little bit difficult to report on this project because things changing a little bit haphazardly because of they're struggling with the weather. But hopefully next month we'll have a stable schedule and I'll be able to report much more smoothly. And that's what I have for my report.
Questions for Tom? Anything on highways? Just back to County Blind A, Clement. 406 property owners. You know, I can picture the intersection. You've got Kenosha Country Club in the northeast. Northwest, you have a single family home, a little bit of property, farmland to the southwest. And then the southeast, you've got the subdivision. So where does all different ownership come in on that one?
Well, the subdivision is not owned by this, by one property owner. I think about two or three of them is owned by one property owner. There's, some of the sections are owned by different property owners.
Okay. Is the majority of that going to go to the southwest in terms of acquisition just due to the farm configuration there? How is the roundabout set up?
Well, the reason why it's more to the south is because of drainage. We have to contain the water that's coming from the roundabout. And so there'll be some storm sewer installations, collect all the water, put it on the southwest corner, and then put it into the storm sewer and redirect it to the appropriate area.
On Highway 50, from County O to State Highway 12, I had a conversation with Mr. Arbett earlier. Once they begin that, that's going to be quite an inconvenience on the weekends for all people to go back and forth between Interstate, Lake Geneva, et cetera. Is it your impression that it'll be reduced to one lane each direction, even on weekend travel, they won't open it up and up?
It's my understanding because they don't want the traffic to drive on the milled surface that has already. Once the surface is, the pavement is milled, it's already compromised for this heavy load of traffic to drive on them. So they're not very comfortable for those trucks to be driving on the mill surface. So my understanding is that yes, they're going to keep the one lane until that section is paved.
So notify your constituents, get to the western edge of Kenosha County. Friday's westbound it will be slow and Sunday's eastbound will be slow. Good, thank you for your report. Any further questions, Mr. Connor? Thank you.
All right.
Public Works.
I'm going to take the lead on the IGA with the city, and Joe's going to help me out. Just to put this in context for the committee, I lied to the committee last month when I said there wasn't going to be.
You said foolishly.
I foolishly indicated there was. Yeah, and until about, really, I don't even think it was 2 weeks ago, is when the executive called me and said, hey, the city wants to talk. And there was a number of issues contained in the IGA. If hopefully everyone got a chance to review it. I apologize for the confusion. Wendy did get it out on Friday, so you had the weekend to look at it. So that was my miss. I didn't know that it happened. I'm glad that happened because that's what we were hoping. So you'd have time to look at it. Basically, there's issues in the IGA that have been bouncing around between the city and county for the last probably 8+ years. And I think there was the motivation to try to get some of these things resolved before the current executive leaves office. That's the bottom line. So what's contained in here, I'm going to walk through it, but I'm only going to hit the highlights. I'm not going to go line by line. But I think there's key pieces. There's key pieces, though. I do want to make sure that the committee's aware of.
We know, like, you like to keep things very short and concise.
I'm going to try, okay? I'm going to try.
Whereas I'm just the opposite. So.
So the first thing, actually, I'm going to jump to page. The first section deals with Highway K. And on page 5 of the document is really where it kind of lays things out. Highway K, things are going to be done in three sections. It's from the UP Railroad to 94th Court, the section that Clement's been reporting on, that's going to be in construction phase this year. That's the first chunk of that road. The next chunk is from 94th Court to 115th Avenue, which is directly across from where the old dog park was. It's the road that goes into that subdivision on the south side of K. That's the second chunk. Then the third chunk is going to be from 115th Avenue to 128th Avenue, which is basically that the side street that is west of the West Frontage Road, the first road that goes north. It's actually where the city just ran water to get to the U-Line properties up on Highway N. That's the road. So those are the three sections. Basically, there was something in place to address the first section, the section that we're working on this year with the city, that it would be jurisdictionally transferred when that road was finished constructed.
That isn't what the IGA said, because you were to go to the frontage road for you to satisfy that IGA. So you only went to 94. So that's incorrect.
Technically, yes.
Yeah.
But what this document does is it basically puts all that behind. It puts it in one document, so
right.
Going forward,
right.
We have a clear idea.
Right. That's the real advantage of it, is that it takes in that whole, all three of those sections now, it packages them, it says, I think it's January 1 of 2035, all those then at that point would be jurisdictionally transferred. So that's probably the heaviest lift in the document, is to clarify that. So that's basically what the whole first section talks about, is K, how those pieces of the road are going to be reconstructed and when they're going to get transferred to the city. So that's the biggest lift in the document. The next section starts on page 6, where it talks about Highway H. County Trunk Highway H, the sections in between, I'm going to simplify and just say in between Highway 50 and 158 of H, those are already covered in another document as to when those things would be jurisdictionally transferred. So the one that isn't addressed at this point is the section between 158 and Highway S. And that's what this document covers, is kind of what's necessary for that to be transferred and when it would be January 1, 2035 as well. So that's the second chunk of public works stuff in here.
Right.
But, yeah.
Go ahead.
I thought it was from 52nd.
Yeah, 150. I say 158, but 52nd Street.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you're
okay,
city guy, so I'm using county term. But yes, 52nd Street to S.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Because it said 52nd in here, that's why.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I'm sorry.
So Ray, with regard, I don't understand why the STEP funding. Why? So is there like competing funds? Is that why the STEP grant cycles are identified?
Yeah, and going back to K you're talking about.
Right.
Yes, so there are very specific grant cycles that are set up for STP funds, and there's two different kinds of STP funds. Now, try to say this as clear as I understand it. So this is what happened with the first phase, the phase we're working on right now. There's STP urban funding that's available every 2 years. And what happened was we put in a project and the city put in a project. And what happens is if the municipality and the county can't resolve that amongst themselves, it gets thrown up into the DOT's lap, and then they go through a convoluted process to kind of sort it out. We were lucky that we were able to negotiate between the city and us. We both agreed the last time we're going to put all those STP funds towards this phase of the project. And that's why that project finally is being constructed, is because there's now enough money to do it. So what we tried to do in here was identify that we would make sure that we don't inhibit the city's ability to apply for those STP funds. In fact, they applied for the 39th Avenue. They just were awarded the funds for that this year, 22, because we didn't put in any projects that would compete with them. So then they put in, they're going to get those STP urban funds so they can rebuild 39th Avenue, which is what they were going to try to do last time.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we did is we went kind of every 2 years and indicated that we wouldn't apply, but when we do finally get to that last chunk of it, we wanted to be in agreement. We would mutually apply and do kind of what we did with the first one. We would both say, you know what, we're both going to apply for STP urban funds and they all be used for this section. That probably won't happen until, why we put in all those years? Because we don't know. It might be 26, it might be 28.
Well, this is really instrumental, because if the county decides not to go for it and you don't let the city know, then nobody gets any money and vice versa.
No, it doesn't work that way. So if we don't put in for K, They can. We don't put in for our use of the funds. The city gets to use those funds.
But there still has to be communication then.
There is. Okay. Every year there's communication between us and the city.
Just so that the county's not losing out on getting the step funds or the city.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. There's a process. He has to do it with actually all of the communities because there's funds that are available in the county, SDP Rural, that we have to go through it with the towns and villages too. So
I just thought it was strange that it was put in this IGA for the step grants.
We wanted to make sure that the city was comfortable on how we were wanted to do things so it would work out and there wouldn't be any misunderstanding. Because originally they were thinking they couldn't apply for, we would be competing with them. This lays it out so that we aren't going to compete with them. So that was the intention of that.
All right, thank you.
And then on H, there's nothing like that involved. So it's just that section and from 52nd Street to S, and that would be in 2035. As long as we rebuild it to city specifications, and it has a passer rating of 6 at that time. So that's H.
Would you comment upon the significance of 2035 to our?
So I don't know actually what that, I just know that was something worked out between the mayor and the county executive. That was a date that they both felt comfortable with, okay. And that formed the basis of pretty much all of the jurisdictional transfers.
I didn't have any discussions, but I would think it kind of coincides with summers too. Everything transfers over in 2035.
Oh, so that probably is the origin of it. Yeah.
That was my impression as well.
Okay.
There are little chunks and pieces adjacent to, well, quite a few roads, actually, but Common K being probably one of the most obvious examples, that are little bits and fragments. It's, you know, City of Kenosha here, it's Village of Summers here, it's Town of Summers here, and it's all kind of higgly-piggly. They did make an agreement a number of years back that I believe 2035 was correct. Corporation Council nodding. That those will now come into the city, so it's kind of a neat package to have this document coincide.
All tied together.
I will not forget. I'll remind them.
Let's see. Then the next chunk is actually the health department funding. And I think most of the supervisors are aware that the mayor has, this has been an area he's been concerned about for a while. And so this addresses that. And Joe was involved in that. And John's here too if there's any technical questions. But I'll let Joe kind of walk through the spirit of what was attempted to be addressed there.
Sure, and just very briefly, because obviously it is of interest to everyone here as members of the board, but it's not really within the remit of this county in particular. As Ray indicated, this has been a source of some friction between the city and the county for some time. We've reached this agreement that number one would rescind two portions of the agreement relating to city ordinances that the county health department has been enforcing up to this point, and that will no longer be our responsibility. And then secondly, providing a mechanism by which we would essentially unwind the city's contribution to the or payment for services to the county for the health department. As you can see, it's laid out here. It goes down $1,000 a year. It gives the county, I think, the opportunity to mindfully plan for that process so that we're not trying to absorb the entirety of it in one instance. And I think ultimately this is one of those situations where I don't know that everyone got exactly what they wanted, but each party gave a little bit and came to an agreement on these terms.
Then I'll pick it up on the next thing on page 10, the revetment wall contribution. So this is basically, I think, again, most folks are aware that we've got a number of properties on First Avenue between 71st Street and 75th that are county, they were tax deeded properties, they're 70%+ underwater in Lake Michigan. But really what's at risk is First Avenue in terms of as the lake continues to do damage, similar as it's doing at Kemper. The city does have a plan to rehabilitate this stretch. They had engineering studies done. The estimates were like $10 million to rebuild that revetment wall along that stretch. And we've agreed to pay $500,000 to help with that process whenever that would occur. So that's basically what that whole clause is talking about. Then the bike path clause under Article 6, that has to do with a really quirky little part behind the hotel on the harbor. It's right by 51st, is it? I thought it was referenced in here.
It's essentially north of Common Grounds, if you know where Common Grounds is, and it goes to the foot of the bridge. That's yep. the expanse you're talking about.
Yep, and the city owns properties, two parcels, right along the harbor edge there, and it's right where that, as it heads north, getting close to the Simmons Island Bridge, is there's no linkage for the trail that is along the harbor to now go back up and connect with the street and continue north. This would allow us to construct that consistent with what's outlined in the Route of the Badger plan, which is part of the overall comprehensive bike plan. And we attempted to work with the city a few years back to try to get this resolved, and we just couldn't get it to work out. So now this lays the groundwork for that to be done so that that little piece, critical piece, can be constructed by us and that the city would maintain it then going forward. So that's what that section is all about. Then the next section, Section 7 on page 11, quick claim of deed. Again, I think some of the committee's aware of this. There's a retention pond that was part of a subdivision in between. It's right on 65th Street. I know it's in Supervisor Nuno's district, or it was. And this retention pond, the homeowners association went defunct a number of years ago, and we ended up taking that retention pond and a number of our other parcels in that subdivision on tax deed. Most of the parcels, I think, have been sold, but this would basically take that retention pond itself. Since the city, the way state law works, without getting into it too deep, they're tasked with actually maintaining it, and then they can charge back through a special assessment to the folks that live in the subdivision that benefit from that retention pond. This would actually quit claim deed, which would basically give the property to the city so they can formally maintain it and then monitor it and, as necessary, back charge or create special assessments to make sure the pond's taken care of. Because what had happened was the pond fell into disrepair and dysfunction, and there was flooding in the area when we had some rainstorms. So this will kind of clean that up. That's pretty much the overview of all the main things. And then, Joe, if you feel anything else needs to be highlighted, I defer to you or John's going to.
Yeah, I think you hit it, but certainly I'm happy to answer questions.
I was surprised to see this come together.
Yeah,
this has been going on for a long time, back and forth, and two different sides, two different expectations. And on some of these issues, I thought the impasse might go on who knows how long. But I'm very pleased to see this being negotiated out, to be worked out between two governmental bodies, two governmental agencies. And for now, the next administration, whoever comes in, for county board supervisors, for county executive, this is put to rest. This is really, it's a happy day. It's a good thing. Questions, comments? Motion to approve. Supervisor Bennett.
I just have one question for you. On your first section on Highway K, the section between the two railroad tracks, that will be included in your first section?
This year, yep.
Okay. That was my question.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve this amendment to the IGA. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Thank you for your presentation.
Great. Then this will go to joint committee meeting on Wednesday night and then on to the county board. So I just got a couple other odds and ends. I wanted to make sure I followed up on comment or concern that Supervisor Belsky had at the last meeting with regard to, now that we had gotten significant funding from the state for the new Job Center Human Services campus building, that the contract that we have with Bayer specifies that things are going to be split 50-50. Yeah, and so we've already got attorneys, kind of our attorneys talking to their attorneys. I know that the executive has had a conversation with SR. we have to wait till the Department of Administration, who Jim has been in contact with, and the Department of Revenue, kind of sort out what the regulations for how the money is going to be distributed, when it's going to be distributed, all those kind of nuts and bolts. Once we have that in place from the state, then we're going to sit down formally with Bayer to make sure whatever we do is done in a way that's totally consistent, because the state's going to want us to use those funds entirely for the purchase of the property, and how exactly that gets sorted out, we'll just have to work it out. But at this point, SR Mills completely understands, and we're both going to work to make sure that that thing is 100% compliant with whatever state regulations come down, and that those funds are used to for the purchase construction of that project. So just wanted to follow up on that.
The only other thing I want to be able to keep track of is our purchase price after 5 years, because if that 9.85 goes towards construction of the facility, that needs to come off of that purchase price so taxpayers aren't paying.
Exactly. Yep.
Yep. So thank you for follow-up.
You bet. And yeah, then like I said, you know, we didn't plan on this big idea, but we really are glad it did come together. Joe did a ton of work. There was a bunch of people that the last week pretty much evaporated because it was focused on pulling this together, and it didn't come together until about 4:45 on Friday night, and that's why there was a little bit of a communication thing with the packets and stuff.
Yes, I joked with a couple people. I did two things last week. I bought a house and I did this.
which was more complicated.
Yeah, probably the agreement.
Everything else is just—it's good. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Just hope that we've had a really productive, great committee and great board.
I hope I can be.
And hopefully we can continue that going into the future, because there's plenty of stuff to keep working on, and Public Works isn't going to slow down. But thanks for everybody's help.
I just want to say you guys have been really great to work with, and I hope I have the opportunity to be on the Public Works committee again.
My thanks to Administration, Barbara. Thanks for being here.
Yeah.
Hiding behind the pole over there. JJ, thanks for being here. Thank you, everyone, for making this happen.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. You just have to be in public. I know it doesn't mean.
You all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
You've been governed.
Aye.
All right. I told you, me too.
Almost.